High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
There is a story that we've been following. A Palestinian hunger striker held by Israel could die at any moment. That's according to doctors. After the High Court rejected the appeal by Khalil Awadewe, who has been fasting since March in protest of arrest without charge, physician who examined him says his condition is now critical. We wanted to understand this a little bit more. Ran Barra Yoshafat, he's an international lawyer, an attorney, deputy director at the Kohelet Policy Forum. A very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
Sure. Good morning. Happy to be on your show.
So this is obviously a very, very difficult situation. But what are the conflicting rights that exist here? Can the authorities can they be forced? Can they force feed a person? Do they, you know, can they just stand by and watch this happening? How do we balance this human rights for prisoners under these circumstances?
Yeah, well, I think we need first to start with the beginning of the fact that administrative detention is not something positive. It's when bad cases make bad laws. It's not something that's unique for Israel. You have it also in Australia, in Ireland, in England, in Australia, in the United States, and so on and so forth. And that's when you're trying to balance security and human rights. And this is not the best balance, perhaps, but you have to understand that in the circumstances of putting someone in this situation, it's not arbitrary. You have the Ministry of Security of Defense of Israel going over the reasoning of why this person is being detained. It's limited by time. A judge overlooks and sees what's happening. So in this specific case, it's not unique. I'll explain why what's not unique about it. But in this specific case, we're talking about someone who's involved with Islamic Jihad, and it's part of actually the current truce that had between Israel and the Islamic Jihad in Gaza. So Khalil Awade right now is having his hunger strike, which is a right. But I think that people sometimes conflict it with, especially because I'm speaking to a South African audience, conflicting this with political prisoners during the apartheid regime. It's very, very different for Khalil Awade. If he will die, for him it will be, he will become a martyr, his family will receive
A lot of money. It's almost aspirational in a way.
Not just that. Basically, the same trick happens time and time again. Prisoners, and again, this is a person that the person who authorized to put him in detention is the Minister of Security of Israel, the Minister of Defense in Israel. And every few weeks, a judge goes over the evidence and sees if there's a reason why to put this person in detention. So it's not people who are opposing Israel's policies. These are people who are actively involved with terror, with jihad. And if the Shin Bet, if the Israeli police will expose all of the material behind it, that will cause problems. So there's a big violation of human rights here, but the other side of the spectrum is human lives. So this is a very unique measure that people take. Now to the point itself. It's a technique that often people who are prisoners because of these situations, they are actively involved in terror. And what they want is they need media attention and they need the ability to meet with other people. So they go on hunger strikes, and then Israel, when again balancing between security and human rights, now the human rights side has the upper hand because you don't want people to die while they're under the Israeli supervision. So they're being sent out to a civilian hospital. When they're in a civilian hospital, they get a PR campaign, it's a whole media issue, and then they can also talk to people and send messages out. So this is actually also causing a security breach, which can harm the Israelis. Specifically for Khalil Awade, we do know that he's part of the last truce. That's what I'm allowed to say. We do know it's part of the last truce that happened in Israel. We know that he's a part of Islamic Jihad. And again, these are not people who are saying we disagree with Israel's policy. These are people that the amount of evidence that's behind it, again, it's the involvement of judges who go over the evidence to say if it's okay to keep them. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why his appeal was rejected. Because they know that if he will be released right now, people will die. And they also know that if they will expose the reasons why he's there, people will die. So again, I'm not a fan.
Right. I think you made that clear. You're not a balance. You're not a fan of this type of detention. But at the, on the other hand, there are systems that make it that allow some protection and confidence. In other words, it's just not done a random thing. It can't be that somebody in a police station decides to put to arrest somebody. This goes through a court, and the evidence is examined. It's just not open to the public.
Exactly. It is something that is used very rare. Mm-hmm. It has to be with the Ministry of Defense. Judges go over it. But just so we'll compare it to some other countries. In Australia, you have similar laws. When they come to illegal immigrants, same for Ireland, same for the UK, the UK and the US, I'm not sure if the best example to give, but in the US and the UK, you can put people in jail basically for a very, very long time. In Israel, there's a limitation. After 48 hours, you have to give the evidence to a judge to go over it. And every 6 months, if the period of arrest is more than 6 months, again, the Minister of Defense himself have to go over and look at the information and understand why this person is there. Because there is a problem from a legal perspective. I'm saying there's a problem. I believe I'm a strong believer in democracy. There is a problem that the person does not get his due process. But again, it's when you're balancing human rights and security, and it's a poor balance. But again, bad cases make bad laws. You understand that if you will give him more human rights, you will end up with less human lives. So that's the situation right now that we have with this person as well. And he's not unique in the case that he's saying, I'm going to go on a hunger strike. I have two options. One, I'll get a public campaign and will also be able to spread some message to whoever I need to spread the message. Or I will die and I will be glorified as a hero. And that's it's a win-win situation for them.
Which is a terrible one, because, but I guess it's what you're saying. If you're looking at it almost cynically, the photos are very graphic. It almost looks like somebody's being, well, he is starving to death. It's just a choice. It's a choice that he makes, but it draws attention. It's visually, quite impactful.
Yes. Yes, he's starving. It is, as a human being, it's not a pleasant sight to see. And I do think it's it's a humanitarian issue. I just want to emphasize that sometimes people forget that while we're facing, in the Western world, we value life. Islamic Jihad values death. So we're looking at this from a very Western perspective, and we kind of ignore the fact that for Awade, to die is not a bad thing. In fact, I'm quoting the Islamic Jihad and Hamas leaders. They're saying, while you guys glorify life, we glorify death. So he understands the fact that these pictures of him, and he is suffering, not ignoring the fact that he's suffering, but he understands that this is a positive campaign for his agenda, again, for two reasons. It vilifies Israel, and it gives him a chance to be in a civil hospital and talk to whoever he needs to talk to spread messages that might be dangerous for Israeli civilians.
But it's his choice to suffer. I think we need to be very clear on that. This is his choice that he's making. Nobody's asking him to suffer like this.
True. It is his choice to suffer. There's a big question. Are you allowed to force feed a person?
Well, one of our listeners asking that. They're asking a few of our listeners saying, why can't they just drip him, force feed him?
It's a question. It's a question if you're allowed to force feed a person who is on a hunger strike. There are different opinions. I can give you the opinions for both sides. On one hand, you can say, that it's the duty of the doctors to keep the patients alive. On the other hand, you have the autonomy and free will of the patient. For instance, if a patient knows that he has some serious illness, but he doesn't want to treat it and he prefers to die, then should you interfere in his choice? So that's a question. It's not mathematics. It's a moral question and it's a legal question. I would just argue that in this case, Awade is using the fact that we are in a moral, dilemma. He's using this basically to find a bridge in the system where he can go to a civil hospital.
Very, very difficult, a very, very complicated position to be in. But we wanted to bring you that information so that you can decide for yourself. Ran Bar Yoshafat, who's an international law attorney and a deputy director at Kohelet Policy Forum, talking to us about the hunger strike, the rights of the prisoners.